proper view and use of money. Not only are we as office bearers supposed to set a good example, we have to teach the congregation of how to use money and how to view money properly. So that's one of the reasons why we're going to be looking at Matthew 23. We're going to be reading verse 23 through 24, just these two verses here. Matthew 23 at verse 23, that's page 985. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. And that's as far as we're reading. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at verse 23 in particular. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, finding the right perspective and balance is a constant struggle and challenge for the Christian. For example, we as Christians tend to err on one of two sides. Either on the one side, we fall into legalism. Legalism, where we think that if we do certain things, if we obey the laws, then we start to trust in ourselves, boasting in our own works and our own abilities. That's legalism. The other side of the equation is antinomianism, basically meaning against the law. We think as New Testament Christians, the law has nothing to say to us or about how we are to live. To prove the point, today we are going to apply the concept of tithing to the Christian community today. My suspicion is that most of us here will fall into one of these two categories. Either we are incredibly specific when it comes to how we properly use our finances, almost to the point of following to the letter, almost to the point of legalism, or we have fallen into the other area where we think that the law has nothing to say or that God has no real requirements of how we spend our finances. Now, today we're going to be focusing particularly on the concept of tithing. Children, the word tithe simply means 10%. In Leviticus 27, the tithe was a 10% that the Israelites were supposed to return to the Lord. So every year their increase, they would have 10% of whatever that increase was. It was brought into the temple, and it would be to support the building structure of the temple, support of the Levites, and the priest as well. So the word tithe simply means one-tenth. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is this: does the tithe apply to the New Testament church? How are we to come to grips with this Old Testament principle? Does it still apply to us today? What does financial obedience look like for us as Christians? Not only did we talk about this as elders a few weeks back, there's also a really interesting article in the Christian Renewal that we just had in this past week as well. So finances, that's our consideration tonight. And it is interesting when you look at finances that Jesus spoke more about money than he did about prayer through his earthly ministry. He spoke more about money, finances, than he did about prayer. And in fact, if you look just at the parables of Jesus, 11 of the 40 parables that Jesus spoke were about money and the use of money and how we use money has a spiritual component. He used money to prove a spiritual point in 11 out of 40 parables. So the proper view and use of money is very clear, very clearly a focus of Jesus and his ministries. We don't tend to think that way. We tend to think as money something which is an aside, something which is so base, common. Money is a necessary evil. We need it in order to get by with society, to get through the day, but we'd rather not talk about it or think about it. Well, today we are going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ calls for generosity as a proper response of faith. Jesus Christ calls for generosity as a proper response of faith. And our first point, then, we are going to find that Jesus affirms a certain action of the Pharisees. Now, this might be shocking to us. When we think of the Pharisees, we tend to think, brood of vipers, woe to you, cursed are you. We tend to focus on what the Pharisees got wrong, and we're going to see that in our second point. But Jesus affirms something of the Pharisees in our passage today. Our certain passage affirms that the Pharisees ought to have done these things. This is verse 24. Verse 24, Jesus says, you ought to have done this. Well, what is the ought that they have done? What is the thing that the Pharisees were doing that Jesus says, yes, this is right, you should be doing this? Well, the thing that the Pharisees were doing that Jesus says, yes, you ought to do that, is tithing. Jesus says the work that the Pharisees were performing of tithing was not wrong, but was in fact praiseworthy and ought to be done. Now, when it comes to the tithe, we can think of Old Testament examples. Abraham tithed, Genesis 4, Jacob, Genesis 24. The Old Testament law prescribed the tithe. We talked about that earlier in Leviticus. But the concept in scriptures of tithing and how that shows a generous heart is much larger than just simply giving a 10%. Because scripture very clearly encourages a cheerful generosity, sacrificial giving. 2 Corinthians 9, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Jesus even praises the widow who puts in that little piece of copper coin, giving in her poverty and yet giving sacrificially. She gave everything that she had. As Christians, we sang this earlier, that we are stewards. As Christians, we are stewards. As God's people, everything that we have has been placed into our hands by our sovereign God. There is nothing that we have that we can claim as our own or belonging to us or having been purchased by ourselves. To say this another way, there is nothing that we have that Jesus does not say over, that is mine. The lordship of Jesus Christ covers everything that we have, every possession, every cent in your account, your house that you live in, the car that you drive, your abilities, all of these things have been placed into our hands, and we are stewards of God's blessing. These are gifts that God has placed into our hands for a season, and we are to use them wisely during the short period of time that they are in our care. So when it comes to the Pharisees and the tithe, we find in our passage that they were very dedicated to the tithe. So much so that verse 23 says that they were tithing the mint and the dill and the cumin. Now, this would be tithing the garden produce that we produce at home. These particular herbs tended to grow on the side of the road or in cracks in the walls or in the fence lines, we would say. And if the Pharisees were walking and they would find a little bit of mint growing on the side of the road, they would take it and they maybe grab 10 plants. One of those plants would be separated and brought to the temple. For us, that would be like if you go and pick apples, you get 100 apples, 10 of them are brought to the church. The tithe applies to bringing 10%. So if you had if you gained 100 cattle in 1 year, 10 of those cattle would be brought directly to the church, or you could redeem those cattle by paying for them to the temple treasury. But the Pharisees applied the tithe to a significantly small and what we would say a minute matter. How many of us here, when we are going on a walk and we see a wild raspberry bush growing in the side of the walkway that we go on the path, and we see this raspberry bush and we grab a couple handfuls for ourselves. If you take 10 raspberries, do we consciously set apart one of those raspberries to go to church? That's how dedicated these Pharisees were. They applied it to the small, minute matters of like garden produce. So if you have a garden and you take in green beans, do you count them out so that for every 100, 10 of them is brought to the church? It was real dedication. They were committed to obeying this particular Old Testament Levitical command. But I wonder how many Christians tithe today, or even get close to this kind of dedication, seeing that the commandments of God cover all areas and all aspects of our lives. The most recent data I saw is that approximately 5% of Christians normally tithe. I suspect that amounts higher in our church, but I have no idea. But on average, 5% of Christians normally tithe. The average church attender gives $70 a month to the church, which is about 2% of the average income. Now, I don't want to be unnecessarily harsh, but if the tithe applies today, Malachi would say to 95% of churchgoers, you are robbing God. Right? 95%, you are robbing God, as Malachi would put it. To fail to bring in the support that is in keeping with how God has blessed you is, in fact, stealing from the church of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8 strongly encourages generosity, giving in keeping with how much God has blessed you, giving cheerfully, giving abundantly. Paul says to the Corinthians, they were overflowing with a wealth of generosity. Now, if you read the book of Corinthians, you find that the church at Corinth was really messed up. They had a lot of weird stuff going on there at the Lord's Supper and sexually immoral people living in that church. So say what you will about Corinth, Paul praises their generosity. They were extremely generous, giving sacrificial to their own hurt. But what is fascinating is that the motivation that Paul speaks of, and this is in 2 Corinthians 8, is that the Christians there in Corinth recognized how they had been blessed. The motivation given in 2 Corinthians 8, is that Jesus Christ was rich and became poor for you. Therefore, we must be generous. Generosity flows from a Christian heart that acknowledges the blessings that God has given to us. And the chief principal blessing that Paul points to in 2 Corinthians is that Jesus Christ was so rich and so blessed, and yet he humbled himself, taking the form of a servant. He took on our flesh, being made like us in all ways except for sin. That Christ was humbled and humiliated. And that fact, that Christ gave up so much for you, is what motivated the Christian to respond with sacrificial giving. It is not a legalistic box that we check. Okay, I wrote my check for this month. I did that because that's what expected of me. I don't want to get in trouble. It was a real appreciation of the blessings that God has given to us. To say this another way, righteous living and cheerful giving is not an optional, nice add-on for a Christian. Someone who truly understands the significance of Christ's sacrifice cannot help but respond and look for opportunities to cheerfully give. As God's holy people, obedience to the call for generous, sacrificial giving, it's not a burden, it's not a yoke placed on us. It is a joyful, cheerful, and necessary response. God loves a cheerful giver. And Malachi even puts it this way. test me, the Lord says. Test me. You cannot outgive God. Open your hand, and I will open the heavens, and I will richly bless you. 2 Corinthians 9. Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion, but cheerfully. Although it is true that there is no specific verse in the New Testament that says Christians must give a tithe, the principle of sacrificial giving in accordance with how much God has blessed you still remains. Since we have so many more blessings and so many more riches that God has given to us than our Old Testament forefathers have, can we be less thankful, less generous than they were? Well, let's move on then. Since we are to avoid both legalism and antinomianism, if it's not works righteousness, nor is it faith without works, since a true and living tree is made evident by its fruit, and one of the fruit that God calls us to produce is generosity within the context of the church, if bringing in the tithe and offering is the expected response of those who are those who have gratitude, in the second point we are going to see what significant weighty matter the Pharisees were missing. Why did Jesus begin verse 23 by saying, "Woe to you, Pharisees, you hypocrites"? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. This you ought to have done, we saw that in our first point, but what had they neglected? What does Jesus rebuke? Well, Jesus calls the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites. Jesus says, yes, you tithe the dill and the mint and the cumin, you tithe to the letter of the law, but you are a hypocrite. What were the Pharisees doing? The Pharisees were two-faced. The word hypocrite means pretender. It's the word applied to someone who is on stage and has a mask on. They're dual in purpose. They are not true to themselves. They're a pretender. Although the scribes and the Pharisees were pretending to be generous, they were cold and calculating. In their giving, they were satisfied with the externals. Their hearts were unmoved. There was no love. There was no faith. There was no gratitude. Jesus will call them whitewashed tombs. They looked good on the outside, but on the inside, they only had dead man's bones. Let this warning be heard as well. It is very possible for you to be consistently tithing to the church while remaining outside the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. It is very possible for you to give 10% every month without fail and still be outside the kingdom of God. Giving 10% to the church every week does not gain the favor of God. Paul puts it like this: if you give away all your money to the poor, but you have no love, you gain nothing. And that was the Pharisees' error. They lived for the external. They made a whole lot of noise and they had a great show. They had their lists and their laws, and they added their own laws to the list in order to protect the laws. And in their giving, they said they were extremely generous, and yet they were calculating. They lived for the praise of men. They were conniving. They were thinking of how they could get possession of the widow's homes after the widow had died. Living for the praise of men, yet poor towards God. One of the concepts in Scripture that we find with giving is that our giving is to be done secretly. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You'll remember that the rich people, now in the temple, they had these golden chests that had kind of like a trumpet of horn on the end, and the rich people would come up there and throw all their gold coins and clink, 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 clink. They'd make a lot of noise, and look at me, how much I'm giving. But Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Children, just by way of an aside, that's why we have those little blue envelopes that you find in the offering plate. It's so that your gift is protected from the eyes of others, that you don't throw in money in order to be seen by others. For if you are generous at church for the sake of being seen, Jesus says you gain nothing. It is only a heart that truly loves God and responds with gratitude to the blessings of God that can be rightly generous. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. What the Pharisees missed, what was critical, and it undermined all of their giving, is faith. Because who was standing in front of them? Yeah, they were diligent giving their tithes. They were tithing on absolutely everything. But the Savior of the world was standing in their presence, and they were planning to kill him. As a parable of Jesus spoke about the rich man, if you are poor towards God, then you are poor indeed. These Pharisees hated Jesus because Jesus was merciful. Yet as Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So what the Pharisees neglected was the weightier matters of the law. Specifically, Jesus says here in verse 23, the weightier matters that they neglected were this: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. To put it in today's context, it would be someone who's good at writing checks, yet heart is hard. They did not practice justice. Their judgment is twisted. Justice is doing what is right towards others. Justice is seen in doing what is right even when others aren't watching. Mercy and compassion on the needy. Speaking the truth in love. Forgiving others. Faithfulness. Viewing other people as fellow travelers who need compassion and mercy. Who need to be forgiven. Just as you need to be forgiven. The scribes and Pharisees were defrauding others. They were the quick to pick up stones and to cast judgment, condemnation on others. They viewed themselves as being better than everyone else, and even in prayer saying, I thank you, God, that you made me so much better than everyone else. Their hearts were hard. They had no mercy, no compassion, no justice. Even though they faithfully gave the tithe, they had no desire to help. If someone who was downtrodden and needed their aid was in their path, they would cross by on the other side. They were unfaithful, and thus their lives remained unfruitful. Those are the weighty matters that Jesus says cannot be left out. Mercy and compassion, faithfulness, justice, these are not insignificant matters. They are very weighty. So how we treat others, how you speak to and about others. These matters must not be neglected. For the Pharisees neither loved God nor fellow man. Jesus calls them blind guides. They were leaders who led others into the pit. In our passage, Jesus makes it very clear the why of obedience is just as important as the what of obedience. We cannot play these two things off against each other. What we do and why we do it. If you think that in your giving to the church, in your tithing, or however much you give, if you think that you are somehow pacifying God by your giving, then you are wrong. And if you think that you can make God happy by writing checks to the church, but having no mercy, no compassion, no justice for your fellow man, you're still missing the mark. The weightier matter. It's not one without the other. It's obedience from a heart motivated by gratitude. To conclude, as James would say, faith without works is dead. I will show you my faith by what I do. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ will necessarily be cheerful givers at church, but they will also be kind and compassionate. Jesus calls for generosity as the proper response of faith. Obedience to God in all areas of life. An obedience that comes from a thankful heart. Remember that Jesus was rich and he became poor for us so that we might be given true and lasting riches. We've been purchased with precious blood, bought at a price. So therefore, glorify God with your possessions. It is not money that is the root of all evil. It is the love of money that corrupts. So glorify God by being faithful, consistent, cheerful stewards. Glorifying God by being compassionate and merciful. For this is God's will for your life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this stirring reminder that as your people, we have received so much. That Jesus gave up so much for us. May we, in our use of money and how we treat and interact with others, show that our heart is soft. Show that we are grateful and compassionate and merciful because of the great mercy and compassion that has been shown to us. May we show we are generous because you have been so generous with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.